Amen. It sure is good to be here tonight. It's good to see you. I'm a little tired. I'm going to be honest. We've had a big, big week, and it just keeps getting bigger as the summer goes on. They keep finding projects. There's always something to do, and it just keeps growing legs on you, I think. But it sure is good to be here tonight, and it's good to have the victory in the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Amen. You know, I was just thinking, that's probably one of my favorite songs, maybe my favorite song there in the Red Book. The Lord just really kind of has placed that on my heart throughout the years for different reasons, you know. But I think for me, there's a reason why some of these songs are as popular as they are, or the favorites that they are, the meaning behind it. And I thank God for the victory that we have. I thank God for the victory that I have. And I got to spend time with one of my good friends at work. He'd been out a couple of weeks or a week or so. His father had passed away, and they're believers. And so we have a lot of good conversations and talks together. And he was just sharing with me different stories about his dad and different things. And as sad as it is and hard as it was amazing to see the peace that he has, that my friend has, knowing that he knows where his dad is based on the testimony that his dad left behind and just some of the things that he'd say. And he said, it's hard. It's not easy, but I know where he's at. And it kind of reminds me of what David said there. He said, talking about his infant son, he can't come back to me. Not that he'd bring him back, but I can go to him. And I find a lot of happiness in that. And that's where my confidence is at tonight. But if you'd like to, let's turn to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. The Lord had laid this on my heart, or these verses, primarily 14, 15, on my heart some time back. And didn't know when he might allow that to be plugged in or not. I don't know if I've preached along these lines or not necessarily. But it's kind of way laid on my heart, and I was able to study it out, and I thought tonight would be a good time for this to be taught and preached on, what have you. We do have a business meeting tonight, so I'll be mindful of time. It's just really interesting how a lot of things are recounted in the Old Testament when you look at the different leaders that they had. Now, this is going to be from what I would say, this is from older Joshua. This is from Joshua who's getting ready to pass on. A lot of times when we read accounts in the Bible, I think usually a lot of times maybe it's at their start, or maybe during the middle of some of their battles or things, but this is at a time that Joshua is coming to the end of his life. But he's recounting some things, and he's gathered the people together to talk to them about this. Tonight, the lesson is entitled, We Will Serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. But I'll read the verses, and we'll get started and just kind of think about this tonight again. Joshua 24, looking at verses 1 through 15. And absolutely be in prayer for the service tomorrow. I've been talking with the family and looking forward to spending some time with them. I understand the situations are hard, but also they've recounted it many times. It's a celebration of life, and I'm thankful we can look at it that way. Joshua 24, and this is here he's talking to the people. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. So this is Joshua speaking, but it's what the Lord told him to say. Take note of that. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out, He's talking to the children of Israel. He's talking to these people that's here with him in these scriptures at this time. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. And I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. It's a lot of sites. And I delivered them unto your hand. And I sent the hornet before you and drave them out before you, even unto the kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted and did ye planted and not do you eat. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which were your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, thankful. Thankful, Lord, even when we're tired in body, God, that we can be just lifted up, encouraged, empowered, God, in spirit. God, we just thank you so much for that. Thank you for what you can do on the inward man, God, and just how you can revive us and bring us back, God, to being who you'd have us to be. And it's just so good to recount things sometimes, God, and just look back over things, God, that what you've done for us, and just gives us that encouragement as we look forward to things and look ahead into things, God, when there's uncertainty and just when our hearts are heavy sometimes, God, and just the uncertainty and the discouragement sometimes, God, that we can face. But Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the promises that you've given to us, and it's up to us, God, if we claim those and we just hold on to those and just recount those, God. And Lord, I pray, God, that you be with us tomorrow, be with the family in the service. God, be with the choir as they sing. God, be with Sister Alice, Sister Kathy as they play. God, we just appreciate them so much. Appreciate our choir. God, I thank you so much for all who take part in our church and what they do, God. And let us always remember who we are doing this for, ultimately who it's for, and why we do what we do, God. Lord, I pray again in thankfulness, God, for those that you've saved in our church just here recently and throughout all the years, God, just all that you've done for us, how you've blessed us in uncountable ways, God. I just thank you for that. Never want to be neglectful of it, God, but always thankful and approach you with a thankful heart, Lord. God, help us here tonight. Be with us in the business meeting. And Father, I pray that your will be done in all that's said and done, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to say how much I appreciate our musicians in the church. You know, there's some places, and I'm not talking down on places, but there's some places that can look around the congregation and they don't have that. And sometimes it's just a matter of just singing a cappella, which that's fine too. It's always about the Lord, but I'm just so thankful that how he has blessed our church in so many ways. Just being able to play, I was watching Sister Kathy's hands and Sister Alice's hands as they were playing, and I was thinking to myself, I cannot do that. Mom can play the piano. She tried to teach me when I was younger, and I don't play the piano. I don't play. I told Mom I'll just stick to talking. Evidently, that's what I've done from birth. That's what my family joke around about anyway, not being shy or whatever, that kind of thing. But you'd be surprised on the inside, the nerves running. But I'm so thankful for those who take part. And even when it's hard, you know, funeral services, different things, weddings, you know, you want everything to be just right for the family, and sometimes the nerves are just a little bit harder when it's like that. But I want to ask you to pray. Pray for our musicians, pray for our choir, pray for everyone that takes part, Brother Robert and what he does there, because technical difficulties are a real thing, and a lot of times people will not even know about it. And sometimes even recording the live, and people wouldn't even know about it till those who watch it on live can't find it, and then you get comments sometimes, where you at? Why'd you not record this? I mean, it happens. We get messages sometimes. Why'd you not record this? Why'd you not air this? Kind of thing. But I appreciate all who take part. Our usher team, those, again, taking part up there, and the cameras. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on. But you know what the most important thing about that is? The reason behind why you do it. And who you do it for. If any of us are doing the service that we seem that we're doing with the wrong heart and mind or for self or anything like that, it's just not right. I think the service, the part of service is remembering who it's for and why we do it. This is what you kind of see here tonight, what Jacob is recounting. He had, in previous chapters, the chapter before, he'd talked to the rulers, he'd pulled the people together. This is two different groups here, I believe, and it was his farewell messages. He pulled people together, and he is saying, this is what I'd like to say to this group. This is what I'd like to say to that group. And something I thought was very interesting, my friend, when he was talking to me today about his dad, he got to a place where he couldn't really talk. He'd had a stroke and diabetes, different things that had gotten to a place where he couldn't see good and he couldn't talk well and things like that. But my friend told me today, he said, you know, Dad, he gathered us together, and one of the things that he said to us when he could still talk is, he said, and he had the children, he said, I want you to know that it has been a privilege. I have really enjoyed raising you as a family. And I thought that was so sweet, heartfelt. You know, people, when they say what's on their heart and how you appreciate your family, and you recount your children, and have many, he has many brothers and sister in his family, and I guess there's a lot of times to recount those memories. And I see that's what Joshua's doing here. He's counting these memories, but he's not just reflecting on those and just thinking back on those, but he's using that as a motivation for the people that are hearing, the ones that are intended to go on after he passes. And that's what he's trying to do here. If you look at the word serve, the first word, if you look at the derivatives of it, it actually means servant or slave. And people don't want to be servants and slaves, do they? You wouldn't want that. If you had an opening in the classifieds, wanted servant, slave, a lot of people probably wouldn't apply. Just doesn't sound appealing. It doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound like something you want to do. It means to work for, to bestow the labor of body and mind. Not just mind, not just body, but body and mind in the employment of another. So when you look at these words together, it means actually it's action. One of the biggest things that I see that hinders service is good intentions and service never being actually followed through. If we make a list and we make a plan, we need to be able to follow through with that list and plan and do those things. And it's always about remembering why we're doing what we're doing. If we look at it as just a job, if we look at it as something like that or a thankless job, then we could get discouraged pretty easy. But if you think about what God has done for us, what Jesus did for us on the cross, that should, even on our most tired and wearisome days, should be able to bring us back just a little bit. I told my friend today as we were talking, something that's been on my mind is you have good days and bad days. Even right now, different people in the church facing things and going through things. But you know what? Thank the Lord we're still together. I told my friend, I said, you know, I know it's not easy, and I don't say this lightly, but if we can find joy and find something in the time that we have, even though it's hard times, we need not to take that day for granted. You know, it's easy to look past and say, I can say this, summer's a busy time for us at work. If we could just get through summer, well then how many days is summer? You think about the beautiful sunny days, the days that we got to take the youngsters fishing and doing things, but if you just wish past those days, one day you look back and say, where did it go? And how many of those days did I wish away that I could have just been maybe more thankful for, or not taking for granted? I told Brandy, I think it was yesterday, just how important it is for us to slow down and appreciate every day that we have, even if it's not the best day. Praise God, maybe it's not the worst day. Thank Him every step of the way. I don't want to look back with regrets and things, but service really comes up. And I'll ask this, be in prayer for Brandy. She's at home. She's had some wisdom teeth taken out, and that's really working on her. They're embedded pretty good. And so please be in prayer for her. So she asked me to ask the church to pray for her. But see, Joshua here, what he did is he got everybody gathered together, and it's a history lesson. When you recount the Old Testament, you see this a lot. You see how things are gathered together a lot. He mentions here, and he talks about the forefathers that were on the other side of the flood and things that were happening there. And he's talking about how he led Abraham through Canaan land. And you remember all those things. But see, Abraham, he wasn't fully obedient. Father Abraham, as much as the Jewish nation looked up to Abraham, he wasn't fully obedient and didn't actually get to cross over. And that's when Joshua came in, if you remember. What a time that was to see that. But you recount these times and you look at it here. I'll read it again, parts of these. And as he gathered together tribes of Israel, verse 2, and Joshua said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, and the old time, even Terah, the father Abraham, the father Nahor, as they served other gods. You see the negative part. You see what he's recounting here too isn't just the victory that God gave, but he's also recounting God's victory in these people, even despite their unworthiness. That right there, if I feel like I had a part in something that I felt deserving of attention for, being notarized for, what have you, that's easy to kind of, you know, puff your chest out and say, well, yeah, I mean, I did that. I mean, thank you for noticing, but I did that. God, yeah, he helped us, but you know, I did my part too. But you look at what he's saying here, you didn't deserve it. Israel, God was was good to you in spite of how wicked you were. I think Brother Nathan Reed posted this, and I don't know if it was from somebody else, but I read this yesterday, this morning. He was talking about God's mercy and his goodness. You think about God giving the air to breathe, the life to live, giving it to people, some people who choose nothing more than to blaspheme him their entire life. And God gives them air to breathe. He gives them a chance. That's amazing to me. Our Creator is amazing to me. And he's talking about here before the flood, and it crosses over, and after the flood, and he gave unto Isaac, Jacob. You remember he promised the seed that was promised, even though Abraham tried to mess that up unintentionally. But, you know, that's how human nature is sometimes, and doing things on their own. But Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I gave them a place. I said, this is for you. And then human nature messed it up. They went down into Egypt. They went down into what is referred to as a type of the world. That's where they went. And I sent Moses unto Aaron and plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. You know, I don't remember the amount of time, but that trip, that 40 years in the wilderness, it wasn't that long. Sometimes if we find ourselves in a wilderness, we might be closer out of that than what we realize, but maybe our actions and lack of repentance or accountability might be what's keeping us in that state. Something to think about. I know the Lord wants us to be victorious and to be happy, but he is going to hold us accountable when we're disobedient. That's a mark of being one of his children. And again, he brought him out. It said, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the Red Sea. You found yourself with your back against the wall again. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and with horsemen into the Red Sea. You think about these people. This is again a history lesson, but the historians recounting this, that was pretty miraculous. That was a big deal, and we didn't deserve that, but God was just good to us anyway. We didn't deserve that. It says, "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and fought with you, and gave them into your hand that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them before you," God Himself. That's one of the things I've noticed in facing a battle sometimes, is trying to figure out how I'm going to overcome that battle. How am I going to fight that battle? If it's out of disobedience and I'm being chastised, there's some things you just have to endure. That's the way it is. Being chastised by the Lord is not a good thing, but He does it in a loving way that you're His. It doesn't feel good. But when you look at some of these things here, you see how the Lord can bring you out, and how that's what He did for here. He fought before you. That's what's going to say here too. Sometimes it's not how are you going to get out of fighting this battle or going through this battle, but sometimes it's watching God fight the battle for you. He did that for the children of Israel. It's interesting how Joshua brings this out here too, verse 9. And it says here, "And Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you." And again it says here, "So I delivered you out of his hand. You went over Jordan and went to Jericho, and you fought again all against the ites there that are mentioned, and I delivered them unto your hand." God did that. They didn't have the power and authority in and of themselves, but God did that. Now look at verse number 12. "And I sent the hornet." There's things that we're facing and fighting in life that if we try to fight it ourselves, we will fail. There's things that you and I are not fully equipped to fight. You see, we're not infallible. We're not all powerful. But God is. And again, it's not about trying to pull Him onto our side. It's about us staying on His side. And I think sometimes the biggest test is staying on His side when you don't look like you're going to win. We sing Victory in Jesus. We sing these songs and we've read the back of the book. We know that God wins, but still yet we face a lot of discouragement sometimes that we probably shouldn't. If God can handle those big things, don't you think He can handle the things that we're facing in our life that we can do? Verse number 12, "And I sent the hornet before you." You see, that's God talking there, the Lord talking, "which drave them out before you, and the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor thy bow." He's saying, you didn't do it. I drove them out. You imagine trying to figure out a situation you're in, a problem that you're in, and you see no good way out. You feel defeated about it. You feel like you have to do something. You should do something. But Lord, I don't know what to do. I'll make a big mess out of it. And what if He says, well, you just sit back and let me do it for you? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're on His side, He can do that. If you're seeking Him, He will do that. I am that confident. People who follow the Lord and try to stay with Him, I'm confident that He will absolutely take care of them. And look at verse 13. We take honor, and it's good. The labor of our hands is a good thing. I'm going to tell you, this week I've been tired, but talking to my friends, they're tired. We're running and gunning all day. You're pulled off of this project, onto that project, and doing everything. But one of the things they said it's a good tired. It feels good. You go home at the end of the day, you sleep good, and a little sore and a little achy. I notice it seems like every year I get a little bit more sore. Brother Dale, he's talking about that a little bit. And I know people say, you're not old. I know, but my body sometimes says, you're getting there. You're trying awful hard. You're working on it. And I got up sore. We were moving furniture all around the rooms and got up the next morning. It took a few more steps to get to the coffee pot, I'm just going to tell you. But that's okay. It's a good tired, and that's okay. Verse number 13, it says, "Now I have given you a land for which you did not labor." See, it's good for us to work. If a man doesn't labor, man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. We understand that concept, and I believe it. A fellow who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel, is worse than an unbeliever. I believe that. But some of the rewards of being God's child is some things that you see here like this. And I gave unto you a land which you did not labor. You didn't earn it. And you know, they're sitting there taking this in as Josh was talking. You're like, you know what? I didn't deserve that. We didn't earn that. In cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, in of the vineyards and of the olive yards which you planted, not do ye eat these things that I provided for you. You didn't earn those things. And that's something to think about. You know, that's kind of how it was. And I'd have to go back to look to see where this is at, where he's talking about in the Bible. He said, when you go in, you don't kill everybody. You don't take everybody out. These people are going to do the work, so you don't have to. So you'll be prepared. You'll be taken care of. God has a way of providing for his people. I'm not saying we're not supposed to provide for ourselves, but there might be times when you can't help yourself and you need help. And God, I tell you, he has a way of taking care of his people. And I'm going to close out here with verses 14 and 15. Two things I want us to kind of look at here. And I believe this is what Joshua was getting at about this service, because I thought about this a lot today. To be a servant, you really have to get in the right mind frame. You have to do it. You can't think about just being a leader. You can't think about being a boss. That's something I've heard people talk about, or people use the term boss a lot. Hey, boss, and all that kind of thing. I don't ever want to be a boss. I think it'd be much more important to be a leader. When you think about leadership, you think about how Jesus approached it. He is a true definition of servant leadership. He showed people what was expected. He didn't just say, go out there and do this. Do as I say, not as I do. He showed them. He showed them what was expected. And then he said, now just walk in my ways. That's one thing I've learned about myself. Somebody can tell me how to do something real quick, and if I am not tracking and I don't understand the terminology they're saying, I am no better off than when we started the conversation. But if somebody takes me by the hand and shows me and says, this is how we do this and why. Sometimes the why is not important, but it's good to know the why. Why we do it this way versus another way. I remember a fellow I worked with years ago in law enforcement. Every time we were doing something, trying to train, he's like, why? Why? And I tell you, it gets disheartening when you hear the whys all the time. Sometimes you just want to say, just do it. Just do it. One day you'll figure out the why. But I tell you, the Lord gives us the why in these verses here. He says now, verse 14 says, now therefore fear the Lord. He's saying now. He's recounted all this to these people. He's getting ready to pass off the scene here. And he's saying now. And I like how it says now. That's a good thing to underline now. Now. If we're thinking about doing something for the Lord, why are we not doing it now? I thought about this today. And I'm not talking about titles, Brother Bill. I'm not talking about titles. What do you do for the Lord? What do you do? I think about this to myself a lot. You know, I've looked at it this way. And, you know, if you're having a pity party or anything like that, maybe not necessarily just like that, but if you're a little discouraged or whatever and you start trying to feel better about things or whatever, but you ask yourself, what do I actually do for the Lord? You say, well, I go to church. Well, that's great. But what does that actually do for the Lord? What do you do when you're here? Are you really worshiping in spirit and truth or what have you? I mean, coming to church is a wonderful thing, but this is where you come to get fed. It's after coming in here, when you go out there, what are you doing with that? You know, when we sing, we're supposed to sing unto the Lord. When we praise Him, we're supposed to praise Him. What is it that you would say that you do for the Lord on a regular basis? What do you do? Thinking about this service, the service that he's talking about, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. So remember all these things that He has done for you. He's done for me. And He's saying do it in sincerity and truth. Sincerity, that's honesty of mind. That's intention. It's doing things intentional. Saying I'm going to do this for the Lord because I want to. I know that I'm nervous about doing this or a little shaky about doing this. Don't feel like I'm the best at this or that, but I want to do something for the Lord and then doing it. Brother Allen, I can write a list a mile long and I can have an intention to do all those things, but until you actually start checking that list off and doing it, we're not living that Christian life. We're not serving. We're making a wish list. We're making a list of good intention. And that is not what God wants us to do. What if God intended to go there? Jesus intended to go to the cross and didn't? What if that's the one thing he didn't check off? Where would you and I be? You know, the one thing about Jesus, I can tell you many things. One thing I'll tell you tonight is he checked off every list, everything on his list. You know how I know that? What was his words on the cross? It is finished. He did it all. That's powerful to me. You think about sometimes, even when you're discouraged or what have you, thinking all he's really asked me to do is live for him. And maybe thank him, maybe praise him, maybe just show my thankfulness to him. But this is what he's saying here. I'll hurry. I'll hurry. But this does something for me. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of your fathers, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. You know, the first thing I see here, put away idols, put away evil. I believe what he's talking about here, put away tradition. Just because your fathers did it doesn't mean it was right. He's saying right here, your fathers did it wrong. That's what he's saying. He said, don't do that. You know what that takes? That takes repentance. If you and I believe that the Bible is a living, breathing document, that means you and I are always continually supposed to study it and conform to it. I believe that. You and I, it takes daily maintenance. We will never arrive. We'll get a new glorified body one day that we don't deserve. But we will never arrive because of our own right. Never. That's only because of his goodness and his righteousness that he allows us to even take part in that. But what he's saying is here, you've got this flesh to contend with, which he knows what that's about. He was in it. He knows what that means. He's saying, but now try to do these things. Don't make a list and not follow through, but he's saying do it. Joshua right here, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying do this. He's saying don't just do what mom and dad did. Do what I'm telling you to do through God's word. Do what God says. Isn't that something? You know, I'm thankful for my family. Thankful they brought me up in church. That's what I knew. You know, as a child, I looked around the room. Brother Bill, my classroom, the young people probably, when you see him, you know, I looked around the classroom and I kind of thought they had the same things I had. I thought everybody on Sunday morning, they got up and went to church. On Wednesday night, they went to revival. That's what I thought. Everybody does that. But you know, that's not the case. Not everybody has godly parents. Not everybody has godly guardians and people who take care of them. Not everybody has that. So there has to come a point in time that people like that have to choose if they're going to follow God or not. Right? You see what I'm saying? It's nothing to take for granted being brought up in church under the Bible. That's nothing to take for granted. But you know, if you didn't grow up that way, there comes a point in time that you kind of have to conform to that way. And you have to learn it. And that takes time. We can study the Bible, Brother Dale, our entire life, and we're never going to get all of that out of that. All the messages that need to be preached, all the things that need to be taught, all the things that we need to do and take to heart in Bible school as these young people come in, that might be the only time they really hear anything about the Bible. You know how much sincerity and truth needs to be placed in that prayerfully? That's a big deal. These young people trying to figure things out, and if they don't get saved when they're younger and don't get in church when they're younger, they're going to be older people with children trying to figure things out. It's a lot of responsibility, but you know, God gave that to us, and I thank him for that. With sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He's saying, put those things away. Make a decision. Make a choice. And you know, that's what I was going to say here. Number one, it takes repentance. If there's something in there that's not supposed to be in there, it needs to go. Now, you can't hold on to that and hold on to him at the same time and think you're going to be successful as a Christian. Now, the part of it is you got to give up the old and accept the new. And you know what that takes? Number two, that takes commitment. That takes a predetermined choice that you're going to serve him. And that's really where this resonated with me in studying this out here. Verse number 15, I'll close with this. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, if it seems evil to you, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to follow after that, if you want to hold on to the idolatry, the sin, whatever it is that you want to hold on to, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Brother Terry's saying, either get both feet in or get both feet out. You think it's fair for God to ask that of you and me? He did everything for us. He's saying, be sure about this. Be committed. That means conformity to fact or reality. I'm thankful I have fact and reality. That's truth. I'm so thankful that I have the truth and I know what the truth is. Me and my friend were talking today. There ain't no way that a group of people could sit down and write a book like the Bible. Some people think it's just some kind of book that men put together over thousands of years and could articulate it that way. We're going to make up some characters and we're going to say they said this and they said that and we're going to make this sound really real. I'm telling you, no man could write that. No man could put the Word of God together. I don't care if you tried to sit down over a couple of years and write all that and try to make sense out of it. Human mind cannot. That's God and that's His. I'm thankful for His Word and He gave that to us. Again, verse 15, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, talking about that old way, the other side, or the gods of the Amorites in whose the land you dwell. The Amorites, the place that you're living now and the influence that you're surrounded by now. But I love what Joshua says right here. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's powerful. I tell you, church, that's what I want to do. So, well, yeah, you have to say that. You're a preacher. You have to say that. No, think about it. I'm talking about taking the Word of God, studying it for myself, applying it to my life, and then seeing what God does with it. That excites me. There's things that I need, things that you need, that we have no control or power of making it happen, but, you know, God sees around the corner, but more importantly than that, Brother Finley, He knows why He created you and me. The biggest hurdle, we give the devil credit. We're talking a lot about spiritual warfare and in Sunday school, and I think it's been really good. The class seems to be really engaged with it, and I understand the devil is our adversary, but we give him a lot of credit sometimes on the basis of things that we do to ourselves just because we're not willing to be committed, that we're not willing to say, hey, I'm going to serve Him. Because He loves me, because He's good to me, I want to serve Him. I want to see what He's going to do in my life next. And married couples, young married couples, you need that. I need that. I don't know where I'd be without the Lord. I don't. People can guess and summarize, but I know it wouldn't be good. But I thank God so much for His influence on me. We will serve the Lord. I love those verses and what it says to me. I'll close there. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add tonight?
That's exactly.